Do you ever feel spiritually stuck? I mean, you're doing all the right things, right? You're praying, you're in the word, you're trying to avoid the big sins, but there still seems to be this gap, this disconnect with God. You just can't seem to figure it out. You start wondering if it's some external habit you've missed or some secret sin you just can't pin down. But what if I told you the problem isn't something you can see? What if I told you it's something much closer? What if I told you it was something that is so subtle that if you didn't know what it was, you'd miss it altogether? Well, I'm going to share with you today the one temptation that most of us don't even realize is hardening our hearts from the inside out. You know, it's interesting that in the Word of God, it says in Psalms 119, 130, it says, the interest of your word brings life. The interest of your word brings life and gives understanding to the simple. And I'm so glad that God's word gives light. That word light means revelation, means gives you insight beyond just what it is that you see on the surface. It gives insight to that which seems so complex. It gives insight to the thoughts, the intentions, the plans behind what it is that's being said. And we're going to jump into it today, and we're going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it talks about temptations. And what we're going to talk about is that one temptation that most of us don't even realize is hindering us from seeing the full fulfillment of what it is that God's word has already said. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. It says this. Now, these things happen for an example. It happened to those who went before us, and but they are an example for us. See, the thing about the word of God is God's word is written down, and we're able to go back and read it. And when we go back and read it, we're able to glean or be able to get examples of people who've already gone before us. You know, there's a couple different ways to learn. You can learn by your own experiences, or you can learn by the experiences of those who've already gone before you. For those who've already experienced things that you're going to, but you haven't actually gone through, but if you can learn from their examples, that word examples there in the Greek means from their previous warnings. These are the warnings that God has placed in His Word so that by looking and reading at those things that people have already gone through, we might be able to understand things to avoid, things to do, or He also goes on to say, and they were written for our admonition. That was written to help us to build us up. They help us to be guided in the right direction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, if you think that you're standing strong on the word, and if you think you're standing strong in the things of God, and if you think you're standing strong on all these things, but you don't realize that this one temptation is just lingering around, just waiting to see if you're going to yield to it. And he says this, but no temptation or no putting to proof has overtaken us or has got us held back or is holding us up. He says, except such is common to man. In other words, the temptations that you're facing today, the temptations I face today, is not something's new. It's not like the adversary came up with something new. It's the same old game, just under different name. A whole lot of people are getting at odds with one another as if this contentious with one another, and strife is something new. In fact, strife goes all the way back to Genesis. Remember Genesis chapter 4 when Abel and Cain, and Cain became, you know, disgruntled at Abel, and he became jealous of Abel because Abel was honoring God with his first fruits, and Cain was honoring God with what, you know, just anything he could pick up out of the dirt, out of the garden and everything. And he's presenting it to God. His heart's not in his giving. But Abel always presented God with the very best. And Cain got upset and he got disgruntled to the point where he allowed that envy and that strife and that bitterness in his heart towards his brother to get to such a point that he was willing to kill his own brother and then try to hide it. But the blood always speaks. And see, that's the thing about it is, even when you do things that you think in the dark, in the booth, in the corner, and nobody else is watching, God's word says in accordance to Hebrews chapter 4 and 13 that all things are naked and exposed before him to which we must give an account. So there's nothing new under the sun. That's all I'm sharing with you. There's this temptation that you're facing, those tests and trials and putting to proof that you're facing right now is nothing new. It's that which is common to man. But say this with me, but God, and that says it all. But God is faithful, but God is trustworthy, who will not allow you to be tested, to be tempted beyond which you are able. What? He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, which you're able or possible to be able to stand. But God will. God will also make a way. God has already made a way of escape for you. God has already made an exit for you that from that temptation that you will be able to bear it, or you will be able to go through or undergo the hardship. Every temptation has an expiration date. Every temptation has a time where it begins and a time that it must end. But when you look at and you go back and you look at the example, and this example that Paul is writing about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is about something that happened all the way back with the children of Israel when God was bringing them out of the land of Egypt. And as opposed to just going straight to it, we're going to reverse engineer, because we're going to use their examples so that as opposed to us having to go through all the same situation and circumstance that they went through, we may be able to see what they did so that we can make sure that when we're faced with those same situation and circumstance, we don't follow after the same example. You know, it says it this way in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. It clearly says, don't follow their example. Don't follow the examples of what happened with the children of Israel and what happened with them. It says this in Hebrews 4:11, says, let us therefore be diligent. That means diligent means make every effort to enter or come into or abide in God's rest. When you're coming in and abiding in the rest, means you're taking up your residence in, you're resting, you're not laboring, you're not toiling. You have made a decision. I'm going to rest. I'm laboring to enter into a rest. That rest means a peace or a settlement. I am established in what it is that God's word says, lest you fall according to the same example of disobedience. What? You fall an example to disobedience. What disobedience? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the very example or the exhibit for our warning that God has given us based off what the children of Israel did. And it's interesting. He's saying, don't fall after the same example. In other words, don't fall into the same trap that they fell into. How did they fall into it? Because of their own disobedience or because of their own disbelief. What caused them to fall into this trap? What caused them not to enter into God's rest was their own disbelief. How do you know? Because it goes on and says, for the word of God is living and it's powerful. This is Hebrews 4:12, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the various division between the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner. It is a discerner of the thoughts, your very deliberations and your intents, the very things that the thoughtfulness that is going on of your heart or your feeling or that's going on in your mind. It says the word of God will discern whatever is your thoughts, your intentions that's going on the inside of your heart. That's why it says the entrance of God's word gives revelation. It enlightens. It shows things. It exposes things that most people don't even realize is in their heart. And that's why it says with this temptation, it's so subtle that it's working from, it's not from the outside in, it's on the inside. And because it's on the inside, it works his way or is revealed on the outside. It says, don't follow their example. What was their example? Of not entering into God's rest because of their own disbelief. How do you know it was disbelief? Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says this. Indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. In other words, the gospel, the good news, the announcement of good news was proclaimed to the children of Israel, just like that gospel, the good news is being proclaimed to you and I through the word of God now. It's being proclaimed even as I'm speaking to you right now. They heard it. They heard what was being said, but it did not profit them, or it was not useful to them. Why? Not because there was something wrong with the word. The reason why this gospel that was heard to them was not beneficial to them, not useful to them, did not profit them, was because it was not mixed with faith. Faith meaning that it was not mixed with total reliance, total assurance, total dependency. They was not fully persuaded that what they heard God was able to do. When they heard the word, they heard the same gospel. They heard the same good news that you and I hear, except it didn't profit them. It wasn't useful to them. It didn't benefit them, not because there was something wrong with the word, but because they did not mix it with total assurance, total persuasion. They were not fully persuaded that what God said he was able to do. Did you hear that part? It wasn't that God wasn't able to do it. It was because they did not believe he was able to do it. For we who have believed do enter into his rest. He says the reason why they could not enter into God's rest, they could not settle down into in full assurance, total reliance, total persuasion, is because they were not convinced that what God said he would do, or he was able to do. Or like a lot of people go on today, they have what's known as mental assent. Mental assent means mentally, you believe what the word says. You believe that it happened. You believe the history that was behind the word. You believe all those things. What you don't believe is that God will do it for you. Or God will do it this time. Because because he did it last time doesn't mean he's going to do it this time. Many people say, I believe. And then you say, well, how do you know if a person really believes? Are they doing what it is that the word says? Are they holding fast to what it is God's word says? He says, for we who have believed, that word believe simply means we who have faith, we have entered into, are coming to God's rest. He says, as he has said, so I swore my words in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works, this is the part, the works, the very things that God had already said, he says, they were finished. They were finished. In other words, they were completed. When? From the foundation of the world. You say, well, what does that have to do with me today? Because the very things, the very deeds that you are looking for God to do have already been fulfilled from the foundation of the world. Well, why don't you see them yet? Because you have to come in agreement with God in order for those things to come to pass in your life. This is kind of like when you get on the road of faith, you have a starting point, and then you got to go through and until you get to the end point where that tangible manifestation is already in your hands. Is it already finished? Yes. When you ask for it, is it already done? Yes. What do you have to do? You stay in faith. And what faith does, it draws the very thing that you're believing to you. It draws you to the very thing that you are believing. But what happens if you disconnect? What happens if you stop believing? Then you start doing something else, which is known as toiling. Toiling means you're laboring in your own efforts to bring it to pass. No longer trusting God, no longer believing God, because you aren't fully persuaded, you disconnect. What happened to the children of Israel? They believed God, but when they heard the word and he spoke the word to them, they did not mix it with corresponding action. They did not believe it enough to trust that what he said was true. So we're going to find out what they did instead. So he says the word was preached to them, just like it's being preached to us, but it did not profit them. It did not benefit them. It was not useful to them, not because something was wrong with the word, but because they did not mix it with faith. They were not fully persuaded. They had no total reliance. They was not persuaded that what God had said he was able to do. And because of it, they were not able to enter into his rest, although the works had already been finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, God rested. God rested. Why did God rest? Because all the works were done. He had finished all the works when? From the very beginning, from the foundation of the world. So you saying, is God working now? God has already done everything he's going to do. He just needs you and I to come into faith and to agreement with him so that he can bring those very things to pass in our life. They did not believe God. And God is, and it's to you, and God is saying this to me, and God is saying this to whosoever's are here. And according to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, pay attention. He says, lest there be in any of you what evil, hurtful heart, full of thoughts and feelings of unbelief or faithlessness. And what happens when you have unbelief in your heart? It causes you to depart or to remove yourself from the living God. When you have an evil heart, God says an evil heart is a heart of unbelief. If you have an unbelieving heart, he says it's an evil heart. He says, and when a person has an unbelieving evil heart, that person will begin to depart from the living God. And you're not even talking about people who aren't born again. He's talking about the children of Israel who he was in covenant with. Because of the unbelief that was going on in their hearts, it caused them to depart away from the living God. But he's telling us, and that's why we're sharing this message about the fact that we are to exhort one another, or to cause to come near one another, or cause to, you know, encourage one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened. When you have an unbelieving heart, your heart will become hardened, or your heart will become stubborn. You will become stubborn because of the deceitfulness of sin. You know, it's interesting because even when you talk about in Matthew chapter 24, when it talks about people who were deceived, it was because their heart had become hardened. And when their heart became hardened because they had gotten offended, then they betrayed one another. They hated one another. They detested one another to the point it opened up the door for false apostles to come in and deceive. That word deceive means to mislead and draw away and bring about delusion. When your heart becomes hard and stubborn, it is through the delusion that comes from sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold on to, hold down, hold fast to, lock ourselves in from the very beginning of our confidence. We're steadfast, we're stable, to the end. In other words, when we hear the word of God, we get a hold of it, we hold on to it, and even though tests, trials, and tribulations are coming, to try to get that word out of your heart so that you don't receive the manifestation of what it is God has said, we have made a decision. We're going to hold fast. We're going to have a confident steadfastness. We are not moving off of what the word of God has to say. So the word of God says again, today, when you hear his voice from the word, you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you heard the voice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart. Do not have a stubborn heart in the provocation where you bring about irritation. When you have an unbelieving heart, when you've hardened your heart towards God, towards his word, it causes you to become stuck. You can't go any further. You can't go any further than what it is that you believe. How do you know that? Remember, the example he's talking about here is the children of Israel who heard the word, but because it was not mixed with faith, it was not mixed with total assurance, total reliance, total dependency. They were not fully persuaded that what God said he had done, he was well able to do it. Because they were not fully persuaded, they got stuck and they could not enter into the very rest to which God had established for them. They could not see the tangible manifestation of what it is God had for them. How do you know that applies to you and I today? How do you know that can happen to us? Well, let me share it with you. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 14, verse number 1. And this is what Paul was writing to in Hebrews. He says this, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. Why? Because God had told Moses to send spies into the land to spy out all the land, the very land that God said he had given to them. And when he told them to go in and spy out the land he'd given to them, they sent 12 spies in. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back with a positive report. So the reason why they're responding this way is because if you go back and read Numbers chapter 13, it says, in our eyes, we were like paupers, so shall we be in the eyes of the others. It never said that the people they saw in the land saw them as grasshoppers. That's how they're seeing themselves. Even though God had already given the word, this land which you're going into spy, I've already given it to you. That was the word that God had told Moses, and that's what Moses told the people. But this was not the first time God had said this. He said this before he brought them out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to take you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and I have already given the land to you. And it's the same thing when we come into prayer and we pray and we ask God and we say we believe that we receive by faith. God says, I've already finished the works from the very beginning. But then you and I have to make a decision not to fall into the temptation of to have a heart of unbelief that causes us not to be able to receive what it is God has already said he's made available to us. And I'm going to show it to you here. Numbers 14:1 says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all night long. And all the children of Israel complained or murmured against Moses and Aaron. Now think about this. If you murmur, the word murmur, the Hebrew word murmur here, literally means remain. When you complain, you remain. As long as you're complaining about a situation, as long as you're complaining about a circumstance, and you will remain in that same situation because you never see anything any different. It still looks the same, the same, the same, the same. He says, they murmured, they complained, and nothing ever changed. And it says, and they complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? It goes on to say it this way. He says, Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? Think about that for a second. They prayed. They called on the Lord. According to Exodus chapter 3, they called unto the Lord. And the Lord heard their prayers. And he chose Moses. And he's telling Moses, I'm going to send you to deliver my people out of the land of Egypt because I've heard their cries and I've heard their oppressions. And they've been saying, Lord, please do something about it. Lord, please deliver me out of this situation. Lord, please bring about deliverance. And when he did exactly what it is he said, and now he's trying to bring them into the promised land, they're going against the very thing that he said because they don't realize just because God's word said it does not mean that there won't be tests and trials and tribulations and stuff that you have to go through in order to receive it. Because the adversary is not just going to lay down and just let you walk on in. Because if he did, then you'd go out and tell somebody else about it. And he will begin to lose ground. So what will he try to do? He will try to resist you. And when he tries to resist you first, he'll try to resist you. But if he can't get you to stop, then he'll switch tactics. And then he'll get behind you. And then he's trying to push you and trying to urge you and get you so busy doing stuff that you no longer have time to spend with God. But they said, would it have not been better for us to return back to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Did it ever say that's what God said? Never said that at all. That's what the people said. That's why you can't always follow the crowd. Crowd, most of the time, aren't even right. That's why you got to get before God and get a word from the Lord. When they said this, then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua and the sons of Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephthah, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spake to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we have passed through, the land we passed through, it says, it is a good land. It says the land is a good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey, just like he said. Only don't rebel against God. Don't fight against God. Don't go against him. Don't turn your allegiance away from God. Don't give in to fear. Don't fear the people. Why? For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. That by itself should say, you plus God makes the majority. You don't have to have a whole team of people behind you. You plus God equals the majority when you know that you know it is a word from the Lord. He says, do not fear them. And all the congregation, you would have said, hey, because it is a great word that he just spoke, we should be excited. Man, God is with us. The enemy's stuff has departed from him. Their protection departed from him. We're going to go in and possess the land. No. What do they say? Let's stone them. Why? Because they're not saying in agreement with what it is that we want to do. And a lot of times you will find out when you want to follow after God, you will get resistance. The adversary will use it. It says it when you're talking about the parable of the sower. On our stony ground, it says, when the word came forth, the people received it. But when persecution and affliction came because of the word, they was immediately offended. Offended. Why did they become offended? Because of the tests and trials and persecutions they was receiving from other folks. And they allowed the word to slip because they had no root within themselves. God says this. When you hear the word, you know the adversary is going to come and try to snatch that word. So you can't get into the temptation of hardening your heart to the word, becoming stubborn that you, because of your own unbelief, nothing was wrong with the word. You had to make a decision that I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be confident because I'm fully persuaded that whatever the word of God has said, he's well able to perform it. And when the temptation comes to let go of the word, and the temptation comes to give in to the deceitfulness of sins, and when the temptation comes for your heart to become stubborn in heart, and to the fact that the word is no longer beneficial to you because you did not mix it with faith, you make a decision. I cast down those thoughts. That is not what the word of God has said to me. And what are you going to do? You're going to begin to meditate on the word, like it says in Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word day and night that you may observe to do it. You're going to meditate on it and meditate on it and meditate and mutter it and say it over and over again to yourself and read it over and over again to yourself till you begin to see the picture of what the word said. Remember, the inches of his word brings forth light. And then you're going to love God's word. You're going to give attention to his word. He says it in Psalms 119, I believe it's in verse 11. It says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And it says it in Psalms 119:97. It says, how I have loved your word. It is my meditation all the day. I'm going to love it because, and I'm going to meditate in it, and I'm going to meditate in it, and I'm going to ponder it, and I'm going to meditate into the fact that I can see myself doing it because I have what? I have a fear of the Lord. In accordance to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I'm going to reverently have awe and respect for God and his word, and I'm going to give attention to it. And even though things will try to come up and steal the word, even though there will be opportunities to give in to temptation, to hardening my heart to the word, because a person could have mental sin. I believe it in my head, but I don't have it in my heart. So what do? I got to meditate in the word. I got to love the word. I have such a fear of God that I'm going to have such an awe and respect for him and for his word. I give his word first place. And when I give his word first place, it begins to cast off all those doubts, all those fears, all those opportunities to harden your heart. It begins to cast all those things aside. And what does it do? It allows you and it allows me to let that word meditate and develop to such a point that we are fully persuaded that whatever God's word says, he's well able to do it, because we know for a fact that the works, the deeds were finished before the foundation of the world. And my faith will lay hold on the promises of God and draw them to me. And when they draw them to me, then I'll walk in the fullness of it. And when you're walking in the fullness of it, then what are you doing? You're taking back territory, because when you allow that word to enter into your heart, it brought forth revelation light and it gave understanding to those who are simple. And now when you see it, I can do that. I believe that I'm going to get in. My faith will have corresponding action because I believe it. Man, I'm going to step into it because I believe it. I'm going to say it because I believe it. I'm going to do it because I believe it. I'm going to stop saying or stop doing whatever it is he says, because I believe what his word says. Because I no longer have an unbelieving heart, but my heart is wide open and ready to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change your life forever. And that is the word of the Lord today. How to expose that one temptation that most people don't even realize is hindering them, and it was hindering them from the inside out. But now that you know, now you got to do something about it. Now you got to begin to meditate the word. Now you got to reverence the word. Now you got to have such a love of the word that it's your delight all the day. You don't even get delight until you get into the word. And then when you begin to get into it and have a love for it and you value it and you make it the final authority in your life, then you begin to get the results that God's word has promised. But I'm going to show you how it works for those who haven't even made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of their life. It's so simple that a child could do it. He says this, to practice what it is you just heard. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this, The word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord over my life. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. And from this day forward, I make your word the final authority in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time or you prayed that prayer in rededication, I want to welcome you back into the kingdom of God, welcome you into a right relationship with God. Now, what do you do now? Man, you got to get into Word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that Faith Life and Ignited Depot are such a place, and we'd like to invite you to come join us every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll always give you a word that you will be able to apply to your everyday life. Faith Life is where faith and life come together. And on behalf of Pastor Juwen and the entire Ignited Nation, I want to thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.